Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome to the show. This is the DL Link Show on 101.9 High FM, the show where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. And I'm Nikki Seberini and really delighted to be with you. Our first guest is so inspiring. So if you are just waiting for that inspiring story, if you have reached a point today, perhaps, where you've just thought, I just can't do it. I just don't have the energy. Or you have a whole lot of ideas and you've written them down and you were pretty excited at the time, but now implementing it is just feeling a little bit difficult, or the challenges are just piling up and you're just finding it more and more difficult. Well, then this show is for you, because our first guest, as I said, is so hugely inspirational. Just reading about her I have found so inspiring, and I'm looking really forward to hearing Martine Levy's story. And then after Martine, we're going to have someone who isn't a stranger to the show, Professor Carol Ann Benn. You know, Professor Benn is a specialist surgeon. She heads up an internationally accredited multidisciplinary breast cancer center at Netcare Mill Park Hospital. How many of our cancer warriors have spoken so highly of her? And that she takes the time out to speak with us is always, it's a joy for us, and we really, really appreciate it. So Professor Benn will be joining us just now. But first, Martine. Martine is a multiple sclerosis warrior. She wrote an incredible article. She was in an incredible article in the Good Things Guy. And you know, that's all about sharing uplifting stories. And so we were intrigued and we asked her and we invited her onto the show today. So Martine, welcome and thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, Nikki. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
You know, whenever I read stories like this, and I mean, I don't often read stories like this, but I am privy to them because of this show. I'm always overwhelmed. I'm always reminded of the strength and the resilience of the human spirit. And that in a world in which we live and the challenges that people face, we forget how strong we are. We forget what possibility is. And sometimes we can feel strong, and then the other times we simply can't. So to come across your story and to come across you is really, it's a joy for us, Martine. So let's unpack this. Let's go back to just before you turned 40, just before your diagnosis. How would you describe yourself then in terms of your outlook on life, your health, your profession? Where were you 10 years ago?
10 years ago, I was pretty much happy-go-lucky. I think I was plain sailing, for want of a better word. I was already quite sporty. I was doing a little bit of running, some swimming, some triathlons. Work was going well. In my life, I felt that I was plain sailing. I would say I was plain sailing and comfortable. That would probably exactly how I would say I was 10 years ago before the diagnosis.
Great place to be. But you started to notice things happening to you. You started to get a little bit dizzy, and your hands started to shake, or there was pain. Just tell us what you noticed, because sometimes, and you know, we always talk about early detection, and certainly with this show in terms of cancer, but with anything, right? Sometimes we can feel something or there can be a change and we ignore it. What was that like for you?
Absolutely. So what it was like for me was I started noticing a couple of things that, you know, the small things that I think we all tend to ignore. A little bit of numbness in my hands, a bit of numbness in my face. I started noticing that my handwriting was going really untidy. It was becoming quite squiggly. It was, instead of smooth, it was looking quite edgy. I was feeling that my tongue was a little numb. Those were the physical things that were unusual for me. What I wasn't seeing as unusual was I was incredibly tired. I was training quite hard for a triathlon that I was entered into. And I thought at the time I was just tired because I was overtraining. And when I'd start going for longer runs and got overheated and overtired, I'd find that I was getting disorientated. I would find that I was getting a little bit lost, for want of a better word, in terms of where I was. I was really, really struggling. I'd start a run and get disorientated as to where I was and land up a little bit further than where I thought I was and not really be sure of what happened there. And I thought that was because I was pushing way too hard. I've never been the fastest athlete. I've never been the best athlete. I've just been one of those people that loves to be out there and loves to be involved. So pushing a bit harder, I thought, well, I'm pushing too hard and it's resulting in over fatigue, overtired, muscles hurting quite a lot. So there were a couple of nondescript things that happened that I didn't realize at the time were markers going, hang on a second, something's wrong here. And yeah. As hard as I was training, I was not getting faster. I seemed to be getting a little bit slower. I seemed to be really, really struggling with the distance. And that was kind of, as I said, those were markers that I didn't realize were different. The things that I did recognize, as I had said, were the numbness. I kind of ignored them. I thought to myself, I must have a pinched nerve. That's why my arm hurts. That's why my hand's shaking a little bit. It's the side of my face is also a little bit numb. So that it's got to be a pinched nerve. And yes, of course, I went and self-diagnosed myself.
But your brother noticed also that there was something amiss. So you eventually went to the doctor and you had an MRI and you were diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
That is correct. After the MRI, it was quite clear. You could see in the scan there were white specks all over my scan and my brain. It is in your brain. And multiple sclerosis basically means small scars. And yes, and a bit of a whack of a diagnosis. Really wasn't expecting it. When I went in, I was expecting him to say, you've got a pinched nerve. Don't be silly.
Yeah, that must have been quite a shock. Wow, with that kind of diagnosis. And I mean, in terms of multiple sclerosis, what is the treatment like? What does the doctor tell you? Is it degenerative? What kind of life can you live with it? If you can just explain.
So multiple sclerosis is one of those diseases that is a little bit all over the place. Everybody's diagnosis is different and everybody's journey is different. Everybody has very different symptoms, and depending on where those scars are within your brain and where those lesions are, will affect what affects each person with multiple sclerosis. So everybody's journey is very different. Things like pain, fatigue, numbness, sometimes mobility issues. There are quite a lot of issues that come along with multiple sclerosis. Mine mainly were strength and a little bit of mobility. I found I was getting a little bit slower all the time. There was quite a bit of discomfort and is quite a bit of discomfort every now and then. So the treatments vary. It depends on your diagnosis. It depends on what kind of multiple sclerosis you have. I know that there are various kinds. I have remitting relapsing, which means that it comes and goes, which means my symptoms come and go with the intensity of the lesion, whether they are very active or becoming inactive. They don't ever go away, and that's part of multiple sclerosis. It never goes away, unfortunately. It is, at the moment, an incurable disease. And long-term people have issues that they either are able to treat and maintain where they are within their diagnosis and stay in remission. Otherwise, they just keep the treatments going to try and control or manage those symptoms.
Wow. So here you are, 40 years old, very active, life is good, and you're diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And you were also entered into a triathlon for the next day, the day after this diagnosis. And so basically you went to the doctor, you were diagnosed, And then you went to your mom's house and you collected your race pack and you took part in the triathlon. Like, what was going through your mind? I mean, that you just thought, okay, well, I'm still going ahead.
I don't think it had quite sunk in. I got the diagnosis and I heard it and I internalized it and ignored it. And I think that was my way of dealing with it was I went, okay, I've got this thing and I'm able to still race and I'm able to still carry on and it's not going to affect me. That's, you know, we're not going to treat immediately, so I'm not going to get affected and this is what it is and not me. This can't happen to me. It's just not going to happen to me. So I went ahead and I did the race and in my head for the next couple of months, I was like, this is fine. There's things that aren't great and there are things that were anomalies and there were things that were very different, but I seem to just try and ignore them as much as possible. And I think I'm one of the lucky ones because at the time they weren't that bad. When I say that bad, I suppose I had got used to a couple of them. I'd used to being uncomfortable when I was in a triathlon. I had become used to feeling sort of pain in my legs and pain in my arms and being really tired. And I just rolled with it at the time.
I mean, it's amazing. You know, a lot of people would go, well, I can't do this anymore. I have multiple sclerosis. And for you, and I read as well that you thought to yourself, well, if I keep moving, I'm going to keep moving. And that you could train your brain to find new neural pathways, you know, to help with your balance and your fatigue and that, which is incredible. So what was, you know, that first triathlon? Because just to, you know, let the audience know, this was the first of many in a challenge that you set for yourself and greatly supported by your friends. But that first triathlon, I mean, you've spoken about that you thought, okay, well, maybe it's okay, maybe it's not too bad. But you know, what was going through your mind while you were taking part in that triathlon and now you had this diagnosis?
To be honest, I completely ignored it. I put it out of my head at the time and just went, you're here now, be here, be present, do this. It can't be real. For quite a long time in my head, I thought, this isn't real. This can't be real. And as much as I could, I tried to ignore it. And in the back of my head, after races and not racing, I was going, how can this be though? How can it be? And sometimes in the morning when I would wake up and put my feet on the ground and I could feel when something was wrong, I'd go, okay, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do this? But you go ahead. And I think most people do this on a daily basis, especially people struggling with any kind of illness. You put your feet down, you stand up, and you take a deep breath and you go, I have to take a step forward now. And now I have to take another step. And another, and you just keep going. And I suppose, yes, in a race, it might be a little bit different, but there's always that thought of just take the next step, just carry on, just 100 meters more, just 50 meters more, just get past the next bit and it'll get easier. And even though that wasn't a thought about the MS while I was racing, it's kind of how I race, well, how I probably race that day and how I race every day. Just get through the next 50 meters, just get through the next 100 meters. Just the little bits that you can do at a time, just get through those.
That's so powerful, Martine, because when you just, as you say, you set that small little goal and it's just to do that and you achieve it, it's huge. And so to break it down, and I just think it's really pertinent and very important for people to really take that in, how, because we sometimes have these big ideas, right? But when you break it down, then it's so much more manageable. So you had a huge idea. At what point did you decide, okay, I've just been diagnosed, I'm 40, and I'd like to complete 50 marathons, triathlons, by the time I'm 50. Like, where did that come from?
I was having a look at how many I'd done, and every time I did a triathlon with my friend, I'll post on Instagram and I'd go number 35 down, and I was getting quite into it and enjoying it at the same time as taking the challenge. And, you know, there's a little bit of a love-hate relationship with the discomfort and everything that goes with a triathlon or any kind of race for anybody. And the idea of pushing myself that little bit further. And I think I was around my 35th triathlon when I looked at this and I went, I've got about 2 years. And then I turned 50 and I could make 50 triathlons by the time I'm 50. And I started thinking, this is possible. Can I do this? Can I actually do this? And all of a sudden it became a bit of a driving force. It became my inspiration of, and it was always a thought in my head of, if you keep moving, you will keep moving. And I do honestly believe that that's what's kept me so mobile with my diagnosis and with my illness. And I thought about it and I was like, who can do 50 triathlons? Who, you know, somebody that can move, somebody that's it's possible for. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I got this idea, if I can do 50 triathlons, I would win. I would win this battle of what I was facing and going through. And it would be proof to me that it was still all possible. And I didn't really realize at the time that every time I did one, I was proving to myself it was possible. It really didn't occur to me until it was getting to 48, 49, and 50 that I was going, hang on a second, I'm really doing this. And I think I mentioned it to one of my friends that always raced with me, my friend Jody. I said to them the one day, I'm really doing this. And it was a little bit of a revelation because it only dawned on me then that I was really doing this.
Wow. And I mean, you talk about your friends who help you and this Jody who's there and takes part and comes back and makes sure you're okay because of how difficult it is and how challenging it's been for you. And you've, you know, you spoke about there were times when you couldn't finish the race, when you didn't make the cutoff time and you just never stopped. You just kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it until 49 triathlons down. I think I'm looking 3 marathons, 2 Robben Island swims. I mean, all of this amazing. And then you decide the final one was a half Ironman. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct.
I mean, Martine, that is incredible. So just take us through that final half Ironman. What is a half Ironman?
A half Ironman is a 1.9 kilometer swim in the sea or lake, a 90 kilometer cycle, and then a 21K run. It's all supposed to be within 8.5 hours, which is the cutoff. So getting there was quite a journey. As I said, my friends got me there. I will not pretend for a moment that I did this on my own. You might race on your own on the day, but I don't think there's any way that any athlete or anybody that wants to participate in some kind of sport does it all on their own. And I was incredibly lucky, and I am incredibly lucky that I've got people like Jody and Natalie that swim with me and cycle with me and keep me going. And they inspire me. I kept on thinking I'm asking them to do all this with me, for me. And they kept on doing it. They just kept on showing up. And every time I asked, will you come with me for a cycle? I need some help. Will you come with me for a swim? They were there. So getting to the start line was quite a thing. A lot of training, obviously, for it. Jody and I did the same training program. I didn't get to do as much as him. I tried to do all my training, got a little bit tired while I was doing it, but eventually rocked up on the day of the start and got to the start line. And it was an interesting day. It was quite windy. It was looking like it was going to be quite challenging. And I remember Jody turning to me and going, it's just another race. And I thought, are you mad? It's not just another race. I was really nervous. I all of a sudden realized I've put all my eggs in one basket, and it's a really big basket. And I'm standing here on the start line. I think my heart rate must have been sky high. I could feel my heart beating in my throat. I was so so excited and stressed all at the same time. And then the start gun went off and we were in it. And I think as soon as you're in it, all of a sudden your mindset changes and you go, I'm now in this. And the swim went okay. It was a little bit rough. It was a little bit turbulent, and got onto the bike. And the bike was quite challenging. It was quite a windy day. I like to tell everybody that it was gale force winds because that's how it felt, but it was probably just really windy. A lot of athletes did say it was quite a challenging day out there. So it was quite windy. It was all going well. I was feeling good. The positivity was there. And I started getting it in my head that I was going to do this. It was happening. And all of a sudden, about the 38K mark, we started a climb. And I stood up to do the climb and something went bang in my back and my leg went numb. And unfortunately, I had a bit of a bulging disc, which slowed me down, and I started really, really struggling. And I got up the hills and I turned around to come back and turned back into the wind. And it was brutal. It was just absolutely brutal. And I started crying. I just couldn't believe that this was happening after everything I'd done to get to this point. This had happened and the wind was in my face. And it was, I think I was going at about 13 Ks an hour. And I needed to be at about 23, 25 Ks an hour to hit the cutoff. And in the last 10 Ks, I realized I'm not going to make this cutoff. They're going to stop me after the cycle and this is it. It's done. And I managed to finish the cycle. I came past my friend Kelly, who's an Ironman triathlete herself. She's been on the podium a whole lot of times. She's my Ironman mentor. And as I came past her, she screamed out my nickname and went, come on, come on. And I just started crying again. I thought, this is it. It's done. And I got into transition and I was quite beside myself. I was in pain. I knew I couldn't run. My leg was quite numb. I took off my cycling shoes. I put on my running shoes because you can't walk around in your cycling shoes. And I thought, right, I'm going to have to go to the DNF that did not finish tent and tell them I'm out. And I stood there for a bit, pulled myself towards myself, had a little tantrum and decided I could walk and I could just start walking. So I started my walk and about 7 kilometers in, there at my side was my friend Jody and my friend Kelly walking next to me, and they walked the last 14 Ks along with me till I finished.
Wow. Wow, Martine. What a story. How brave you are. What a big heart you've got. What a strength you've got, and amazing friends. What a, you know, this is 10 years into your diagnosis, I believe 6 days before you turned 50, and you got it. You did your 50 marathons before you turned 50. And that's huge. It's just so wonderful. I mean, I'm sure, you know, everyone listening is like, well, wow, how, and how inspiring. So before we say goodbye, because you're amazing, what's your next goal?
So my next goal, I kind of went, I'm doing 50 by 50. And then I finished my 50 by 50 and went, okay, what now?
Yes.
What do I do now? Do I do 100 by 100? which is obviously a goal. I mean, why not? Mm. I've been a little bit injured, so I haven't been doing as much training as I would have liked to. I did something a little bit out of my comfort zone and trained for a 5-day hike, which was very, very out of my comfort zone, but managed a couple of days of it. Didn't finish it because it was a bit too challenging for me and a bit too wet for me. But I'm hopefully going to get onto the start line one day again for another half Ironman, because I have yet to finish one in the cutoff time. The one that I finished before my 50th birthday, unfortunately, was 10 hours and 42 minutes long, which I think is a record for the longest half Ironman ever. They don't normally let you carry on, but I was quite lucky they let me carry on that day. So one of my goals is I would love to finish that half Ironman in cutoff time. I know my family are probably listening and shaking their heads and going, again, because I'm quite famous for going and doing things without telling people and then only telling them afterwards.
Good for you. That's what I say.
The deal with my mom. Just tell me when you're done and you're okay.
Of course, and that's what moms are for, Martine. You know, I'm looking so forward to having you on the show again and you sharing where you are along that trajectory, where there are no limits and no boundaries, because while the physical body sometimes holds you back, and there are challenges, it just sounds to me that you have found a way of transcending that. And that is so inspiring. And I'm sure that there are so many people who are listening right now who have felt that the brick wall is in front of them. And your story has made them realize that there's a door somewhere and they just have to open the door and move through that. So Martine, thank you very much for joining us. Hugely, hugely inspirational. You are amazing. And we look so forward to having you back on the show.
Thank you so much, Nikki. Thank you for having me.
Oh, take care. God bless and good health. Here's to good health and many more wonderful races.
Thank you so, so much.
Thanks, Martine. Martine Levy, a multiple sclerosis warrior. Wow. 50 triathlons by her 50th birthday. Done and dusted. We're going to take a quick ad break. And after that, Professor Carol Ann Benn will be joining us.